May 8, 2011, is Sawat from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Hey, everybody out there. It's been 2 whole months. But then I've been on tour. How are you, Brother Matt?
Everything is good. Yeah, life is good.
Been home before here in Pedro.
Been hanging out in Pedro. I took a little road trip. Was up in Chicago. Had a great time, and I caught a little stooges up in Ann Arbor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I got out of town a little bit.
I'm looking at a... Yeah, there we go.
Couple knobs.
Oh, knobs here. A little knobs in there. Yeah, I didn't get to see
you. No, you were busy, man. You had a whole tour to take a break and then shift gears, so I imagine you had a pretty hectic day there. Yeah, that was a bitchin' time, though.
This tour I was on was called Half a Native Man in North America 2011. There's myself and the Missing Man, Tom Watson, Raul Morales, playing for people in U.S. and Canada. My third opera, Hyphenated Man. But at one point, I had to leave them to do this gig. It was pretty far along in the stream. I think I had done 40 straight gigs. And then in St. Paul, I had to leave them and fly to Ann Arbor and do this gig. Ronnie's sister Kathy put it together. Tribute to Ronnie, and did one song with Hank Rollins.
Yeah, that was bitching. Henry did a great spiel.
Hank did like
great.
A 25 minute spiel.
He was awesome.
And ended up with like turning on a kid from Sri Lanka on the Stooges in his pad, right? And ends up getting on the stage with James Williamson and Scotty Sun and myself, and we do I Got It Right. That was a trip.
Yeah,
he was great. And then it came on, we did a bunch of Raw Power. There was an orchestra.
Yeah, strings, horns.
Yeah, doing Stooges stuff all written for, you know, symphony instruments. Is beautiful. They're playing behind us behind a curtain. Right?
Yeah,
scrim or whatever. Scrim is what you call that kind of
something back there.
Yeah. So then Dennis Tech came on, and me and Scotty Sound jammed with him on some first album and Funhouse stuff. Dennis Tech, probably the closest to Ronnie guitar. That's what Scotty Sound said. He said, "Yeah, he knew my brother's guitar. They were very tight as buddies." And, he was great. Everybody was. Ig did a stage dive.
Got the key to the city.
In that theater. Right. Yeah, that happened too. And also, Kathy showed some photographs, like a slideshow. But what happened was, when I flew there, I went straight to the pad. It was at the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor. I got drove over. Luckily, the weather had broke because it had been snowing.
It was snowing the side of the road still.
Big time. And I went straight there and started practicing with them. And I stayed there till the gig time. I did the gig with them. And then went and conked. And Ig had to do a bunch of chow and shit with people, meetings. But he ends up calling me. But I'm conked. But I hear the message the next day. Now, before the tour, he'd asked me to send him the third opera. Now, I never foist shit on him. I wait for him to ask for it. And then I don't put weight on him for, like, an opinion. If he wants to talk, tell me about it, okay, he will. But I didn't hear anything, you know, all tour up to that point. And I listen to the message in the morning, and he starts it off with, "Hey, interrupted sleep man." So I knew he told me this is stage diving, man. So I knew he had got it. And One thing that made it difficult about having that orchestra, there was microphones back there. So some, and that place was built for like vaudeville and movies or something. So not so much a rock and roll. I don't know. You were in the crowd. What was it sound like out there?
I was up in the middle of the balcony, and it sounded cool. It sounded cool.
Okay, because a low frequency hum came up on the stage and almost bogarted the whole thing. Maybe the cellos and string bass. I don't know. It was a pretty bitching gig.
Yeah, I was very happy to be there. It was a very cool time. Real cool time.
Yeah, I had mixed up things. I really wanted to play good for them, and I was loving it. Yeah, Scotty Sun, Brother Steve, James Williamson. James Williamson brought out this lap steel.
That was really pretty. Yeah.
That was a heavy song.
Yeah, it was really pretty, yeah.
Wow. It was for Ronnie. But on the other hand, I was feeling sad because that's who wasn't there. But here's a neat way, maybe, to think of him. After that, you went to Chicago.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
So you missed us. You were. We played Chi-Town before that, mm-hmm. not too much before. Shubas had a good gig. Actually, had good gigs all over this tour. Yeah, much respect to the gig goers. They really came out to see the opera, and most time very happy. Sometimes there'd be yammers, but I don't even know those dudes were coming to see the gig, you know.
That's kind of how I ended up going up there, because I was going to Chicago. I had the plan already set, and then Phil Parker, he'd hit three of the gigs down there, and he was going up, and he said, "Hey, are you going to be up there?" And it's like, man, I'm going to be so close. It'd be a shame to miss it by a few miles and a few hours. So made a little flip-flop in the plans and switched this and switched that and made it happen. So hung out with Phil up there. That was cool.
That was your first time to that town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a great little theater to get to check it out. Total hometown deal. Yeah.
It's a school town. The University of Michigan's there. Wolverine. But it's home of Stooges. Ig actually grew up next door in Ypsilanti. But the whole thing's about 35, 40 miles west of Detroit, so I guess you could call it a little bit Detroit. In Detroit, we actually played a suburb I've never been to before called Ferndale. And that was a neat gig. We got to go to a really righteous record store. I went to a few record stores this tour. A lot of them were carrying vinyl. You wouldn't believe it. Some of the stores, like this one in Detroit, called People's Record. And there was one in Oklahoma City, too, that were only vinyl.
Wow.
No digital. Yeah. God, I can't remember the one in OK City, but it was cool. Actually, that dude, that boss, he ran the gig next door. The venue, yeah. Uh-huh. That was one of the best.
Cool.
There was a lot of great gigs, you know. Friday we played in Indio.
Right.
Further than San Diego, actually. So counting that one, opera, third opera now, 69 times. So Wednesday here at the Bootleg Theater in K-Town, it'll be number 70.
Cool.
So I'm finally getting a handle on this. Had to like beat it into me, you know. There was so much going on. And still sometimes it's a little rough. I know James Williamson came to San Francisco gig, and I was worried about wanting to play for him real good. So sometimes when you do like that, you actually choke.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also one dude who was yammering big time. This cat was in his own world. It was a trip. You know, sold out gig and stuff. Maybe he just goes there on Fridays. I don't know, man. But this guy was like very opaque to the situation. He didn't know what was going on. And some of this stuff, some of the parts, like Mouse Headed Man, it gets to whispering, you know. I never told anyone to shut up. There's enough cops in their lives. It was kind of a challenge, you know, to hold the focus and not get distracted. I a little bit did in Denver, I remember. A lot of this stuff's in the diary. I wrote a diary about every gig. Tom Watson did like
the audio voice version.
It's up there on the YouTube. And Raul would sometimes chip in. Bob Starr never got anything out.
Bob.
He did some handwritten things that I took some digital pictures of, but he hasn't given me the order yet.
And Pete got it all documented in her bitchin' photos, huh?
Man, this pig took 500-600 pictures a day. She's got over 30,000 shots.
Wow.
She's in Bangkok now. She went back.
Wow.
Yeah, she was tough. The sickness came on her. One came on Tom Watson, too, and I had to get them up to clinics up in Ottawa, Canada, because it was heavy. He had the bacteria kind, so the antibiotics went and booted their ass. But Miss Peak had the viral, and she had to just ride the shit out. She did, though. She did, and no whining. You know, she was great. She was really happening to have along. She was kind of a rudder, a keel kind of facilitator, too, in that way. She was Peak's very level person, so... It was great to have her aboard. I haven't traveled with that many people.
Yeah,
a long
full
time.
Boat.
Full boat. 5 people in the boat. And, there was the Canada stuff was 4 because Bob didn't come over. He stayed in the U.S. But mainly it was 5. And then the first couple gigs, we didn't get to Bob's son until Albuquerque. Mm.
So that worked out pretty good having him along for the merch?
He was, interesting. It was tough for him. You know, people, I know they might like kind of think about it and maybe wish for it, but till you've done it, I don't know if touring is cut out for everyone. Yeah, it's kind of a trippy life. Now, my men, Tom Watson, Raul Morales, no problem.
They're veterans.
Those guys, yeah, veteranos and no whining, no belly aching, nothing but them giving everything they got every gig. Mm. And they can hang with the
lifestyle.
You know, it's a day-to-day pound down. You got to live in the day. You can't really look at the thing like, whoa, this many this week. This many this week is whatever days this week, that's what it's going to be. Well, they had that day off when I went to Stooges gig where you were. And they had another one. We had a drive day. The drives out west were so big that between Lawrence and Denver, I said, let's be calm. And in fact, that one turned out great. We got to go to the Wizard of Oz Museum in Kansas.
Oh, wow.
The Wizard of Oz is a big factor in the fucking third opera.
Bitchin'. So. Is it pretty cool?
Yeah, it was a trip. You know, the movie's much different than the books. I think there's 13 books. Frank Baum.
Yeah.
Started off trying to get a business going with grease for hubs on axles and wheels. Yeah. From Greece, he ended up with the fucking Oz story.
So he has a lot of oral stories. He'd sit around telling stories to all the kids in the town. That's the way they all came about, huh?
But right away, he started making plays. I mean, he was a kind of a mover guy to make things happen. And he failed at a lot of stuff. And what ended up panning out was his story. It worked out for him. I think he ended up moving to Cali. Yeah. It's trippy. They had a lot of the artifacts. Saw many versions of the flying monkeys. You know, much different in the book. The film's made from maybe 4 of the books. Mm. Yeah. There's actually no book called The Wizard of Oz. No.
It's a compilation. Huh?
And the thing that I took for it for my opera ain't in the books. The big scene for me is at the end when she sees the farm workers, right? The hands, the 3 guys. Uh-huh. You were there and you were there because they were the
character. Yeah, the character,
lion.
Yeah.
You were there, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow. And that was my trip for the third opera. It was like, this is what it's about, man. Dorothy, it's a coming of age story for her. But not like, you know, getting boned or anything. There's no love interest except maybe Toto. Mm. But she's tripping on what dudes do to be dudes. Mm. That was my take on it. I don't know what Mr. Baum was thinking. But I was thinking, look at that. She's freaking on this stuff. The Monkey Man, the Witch's Guardsman, you know, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, the Man Behind the Curtain Man. Who kind of lets it all out of the hat when they come up to him after making that big hell ride. Oh, where I come from, if you're smart, you get a diploma. If you're brave, you get a medal. If you got a heart, you get a clock. You got, I don't know what he... Actually, he in the book, he's a tin woodsman. Yeah, there's another metal man called Tintin. I think that's his name. And he's a copper man. Yeah. You know what Hollywood does. There was another movie, too. Me and Tom Watson were checking out these posters. There was another one made in the 80s. And it kind of used stuff from the other books. And Tom Watson discovered, looking at the promo poster, my pop did this poster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tom Watson's pop, OJ, he's a illustrator. So this was something like side work he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a trip.
That was a trip. Actually, one of the ladies inside now. Now, this town that the museum's in, it's west of Topeka off of the I-70. It's called Wagemo. W-A-G-E-M-O. Small little town. And we're looking through there in the museum, and they told us there's like a Wizard of Oz festival. And you got an opera that has some of this in there? Why don't you play for it? But they don't understand it. Kind of metaphor. You know. Like, a lot of people don't get the Wizard of Oz connect. Everybody was tripping on the Bosch thing because of the little creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the little songs, Minuteman. They weren't... Maybe I didn't make the Wizard of Oz thing obvious enough. I don't know. People were tripping on it. After a while, people didn't ask me anymore, you're playing the whole thing? Because it was one song. Of course you're playing the whole thing. We're going to do it on KXLU with Chris Kennedy.
Oh, it's on. Yeah, stuff? Yeah.
It's
right
on.
On
the 19th.
Right on.
Yeah, because I always like to play my albums over there.
Mm-hmm.
God, we've been spieling a lot, but man, let's do some music.
Cool. Someplace.
Hey, brother, man. Okay, we heard start off with Joaquine doing. You know, they never gave me a title. The file just said Mike. So this is when I played with those cats at the end of the tour in Tokyo, in November. Joaquine. Yeah, brother. Tack. I know it's been heavy with them. Even though it was in the north, the earthquake, the Tohoku, and all that, those people washed out to sea and everything. A lot of the hell is from the Fukushima reactor.
Mm.
They just went in there trying to get things cooled down. They can't even shut it down now for months. And everything getting radiated. So these guys, that's a big concern now, you know, it's this radiation thing. In fact, there's a Ikosan was telling me there's a lot of the reactors were built smart. They checked it out, no faults.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one that's right sitting on one. And I think there was a demonstration today. Shut it down. You know?
Yeah, why
got
wait?
A thing on a fault.
Why wait?
You know, we had one here. They never let get started, but that Diablo Canyon was sitting on a fault. So I know the Joaquin guys are involved with that. I got a really sad email from Mr. Shimmy. You know, he stayed a long time, him and Ms. Yuko, I think because of Nels. Nels Klein ponied up the money because they didn't want him going back right away. In fact, when I played New York City and got the worst monitors of the tour, you know. Good pad, but I had to mime that whole thing. You know, but besides that, the end of the gig comes up, you know, and I'm feeling kind of toilet bowl because it's like, man, what was that like? But look, people were saying, okay, we were into it, what? But man. But anyway, I hear this sound coming through the crowd, and Mike, it's Mr. Shimmy, Miss Yuko. They come running through. Yeah, they were the sound of New York City.
Wow.
Yeah. It
was a surprise.
Blew my mind. But anyway, they did go back a couple weeks ago, and I got an email from Mr. Shimmy, and he said the spirit is low. Yeah. So, whatever we can do to help get that up. A lot of guys Gene bailed. Well, their governments told him to. Handing out the iodine tablets. Okay, we heard Back Like 8-Track after that. Go Team. Rock and Roll. Velvet Underground song. Something live from Cinderella Backstreet. Cinderella Backstreet was a band with Peter Laffner, who ended up starting Perubu. When I was in Cleveland, Perubu drummer Scott Cross came to the gig.
Cool.
With his son. Very cool. In fact, after that, we heard Brother Love by Home and Garden, which is Scott Cross's band. Tony Mamone's a big part of it, too. Also at that gig in Cleveland was John Bekovich.
Ah, cool.
Yep, Stanislav Zabich. Noah Waskovich, though. Waskovich was not doing
fast. Where's Wasko?
But
Cobra Verde dudes around.
He's a scarcity of danger. I did get an email from him when I got home. And he flowed me chords and words for a new Toothless Grin tune. Two of them, in fact. So Wasco's not out of the picture, but he wasn't at the gig. Yeah. He stayed at Demos' pad right next door in Shaker Heights. And Uncle Ray was there.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Today.
Thomas
Pynchon's birthday.
Hey, right.
It's Mother's Day, too. Sorry, Tom, you had to compete.
Hello to all the mothers.
With the Maz, but
so he's supposed to read some stuff in public, or
all kinds. Like my, I'm supposed to be Zabby. You're supposed to be, like, pick a character for one of his books.
Mm.
I got something here. His last book was called Inherent Vice. It's kind of a little takeoff on Crying a Lot 49, where for a little while he lived in SoCal, maybe Dondo, and. This is set in that area, although it gives different names, but you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some detective who smokes a lot of mota and stuff. In fact, I heard he smokes a lot of mota. And in fact, I found this voiceover. He actually did like some promo for this book where he speaks. No pictures. You know, he ain't into that stuff or interviews. But he speaks, and I got that. I'll play that right now.
If you're driving south from L.A. International, it should take no more than a hit or two off of your favorite brand of cigarette before you're right here in Gordita Beach, California. Well, no, actually, this used to be the beach. Later on, all this is going to go high-rise, high-rent, high-intensity. But right now, back in 1970, what it is just high. An ounce of Mexican commercial should run you no more than $10. And that's with the seeds and stems, of course. The neighbors here run mostly to surfers and dopers and stewardesses. Or more correctly, I guess, steward I. Live in Gordita because it's close to the airport. I tend to hang out between flights and the bars up and down the street. So pretty much every night here is party night. Oh, my name's Doc, and I'm a private gumshoe. Nowadays, more like gum sandal. I used to work the traditional Hollywood type of PI gig, setting up drug busts for parties and divorce cases, or helping the cops out with their many shakedown schemes and so forth. But since I moved out here to the beach, I've been more into the smaller tickets. Less karmic hassle, less guilt tripping, which doesn't bring in that much money, sometimes none at all. Sometimes it's even me that ends up paying the tab, whether it's in cash or something heavier. And that's, you know, it's groovy. Or I guess it was groovy. Till one night my ex-old lady shows up with a story about her boyfriend, or actually older guy friend, and his wife, her boyfriend. At that point, it gets sort of peculiar. Maybe you'll just want to read the book, Inherent Vice, Penguin Press, $27.95. Really? That used to be like 3 weeks of groceries, man. What year is this again?
Walking cheetah with a heart full of napalm. Runaway son of a nuclear A-bomb. I'm the world's forgotten boy, the one who searches and distorts. Honey, gotta help me, please. Somebody gotta save my soul. Baby, detonate for me. Look out, honey, I'm using technology. I ain't got time to make no apology. Soul radiation in the dead of night. Love in the middle of a firefight. Honey, gotta strike me blind. Somebody gotta save my soul. Baby, penetrate my mind. adventures and the storm. I'm the world's forgotten boy. I'm searching to destroy. Gotta strike me blind and penetrate my mind. Honey, gotta help me, please. Baby, detonate for me. Baby, detonate for me. Baby, detonate for me. Street walking cheetah with a heart full of napalm. I'm the runaway son of a nuclear A-bomb. I'm the world's forgotten boy, the one who searches and destroys. Honey, gotta help me, please. Somebody gotta save my soul, baby. Detonate for me, baby. Detonate for me.
Back. Can't take it back. Impulsive.
Watt from Pedro show. You just heard Be a Hobo by Hobo Combo.
Yeah.
Hobo Combo's got on drums Andrea Belfi, who is also drummer for El Sueño de Manayo. Soon debut album out.
Cool.
Stefano Palia on guitar, myself on bass. Before that, we had Dry Friday by Agitpop. Agitpop from Poughkeepsie, New York. Brand new album from them. Rick, Mark, John. Back in the South has been many, many years. Before that, we had Doug Walker doing a trippy interpretation of Search and Destroy.
That's great.
Doug opened up for us in Charleston, South Carolina, early in the last tour. And, yeah, he played that, and it was like, whoa, things got to hear this one. Before we heard that, we heard something from the old days, San Francisco, No Mercy. That's No with the H. N-O-H. Caucasian Guilt. Trippy band. And we start off with Thomas Pynchon kind of doing a commercial for his latest novel, Inherent Vice. He did that back in 2009. But happy birthday, Mr. Tom.
Yay.
74 years old. We were just talking about a former teacher of ours who's in charge of the SEAL.
Yeah, the Marine Mammal Care Center.
Marine Mammal, yeah.
Yeah, Nagel.
It's not just SEALs. It's sea lions. It's harbor seals. It's elephants.
Yeah, it just has some elephants.
I didn't know about that. I didn't know they came to the South. And got some babies retrained to...
Yeah, it's right up by a prac pad.
That's
you
right.
You could probably catch some
and
of the
right
stragglers.
Next to the oil bird.
Right.
For the pelicans.
Yeah.
You've been yakking?
I've been just probably twice since you've been gone.
Wow.
And just loaned one out today to go with my friend Boss going fishing.
Oh, respect.
So, yeah.
Respect.
You got a new trailer, so it's
we're at the end
day.
Of the first hour. Coming up in hour two, we got first Brother Matt Spin Cycle in a couple months. And then third hour, we got the thrilling conclusion of Jack Flanders
Jack.
And Steamship Dreamer.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold tight for hour two. Okay. May 8th, 2011. This is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
This truck is riding my ass, she said. One of those two-lane sections of interstate. One of those spots on major highways between major population centers. We are the mouse, and the big rigs are the cat. If we change lanes, we're going to be stuck behind another semi, I said. I know. Not like the other ones will even let us over. Why we decided to take a trip to Canada in mid-December was beyond me. It was cold enough in Cleveland, but nothing compared to the wintry mix we encountered north of the border. We duck into every shop on Queen Street, putting on a charade of browsing, just to get the feeling back in our faces, if only for a moment. The specter of frostbite in that more inviting northern civilization was nothing compared to the mad truck driver on our tail in the vast no man's land outside of Buffalo. Where exactly does he expect us to go, she queried. Damn it, he's speeding up. The road before us was soft white, ice crystals fluttering in the air. The picture postcard look you would enjoy if a lunatic riding a multi-ton weapon of mass destruction wasn't trying to force you off the road. He was on our bumper now. Does he get off on this, I wondered. Forcing the little guy out of his way. He must have a tiny dick to have to compensate like this. The road was getting more slick. Even driving the speed limit was too fast. The snowman's land didn't have any streetlights, so you just hoped what lay ahead was straight. Christ, he's practically touching us, she said. I'd feel violated if I were in a bar. The line of traffic in the other lane was finally clearing, but the leader was matching our speed. Let's speed up and get over, I said. I just want to be home, she said. We sped up a little bit, feeling the car slip and slide. A horn blared to greet our entrance into the slow lane, courtesy of the driver we just cut off. Our pursuer sped up, disappearing in the white blackness ahead. My head was filled with romantic visions of wrecked semi, broken glass and bent metal, covered in virgin snow. We never saw our pursuer again.
Black boots come walking.
Second hour. Pretty quiet Sunday.
Yeah.
Where's all the big boom boom on the pipes and shit? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's cool. Got a little chill still. Probably summer crowds.
What's
not
Pedro
out
been like?
Well,
I heard a couple days before I came home there was a huge raid on Rancho.
Oh, man. Operation Pirate Town. It wasn't just Rancho. It was like 1,500 cops, like a small army, just invaded most
feds.
Of Pedro, yeah, feds, all kinds of different branches, warrants, housing, HUD, got all kinds of weapons, drugs, but on that side of town, the gangs have been pretty much run some of those neighborhoods, pretty much.
Rancho for sure.
Yeah, so people over on that side seem pretty happy that it happened. My brother was driving off work. He got off work in the harbor at like 3 in the morning or something. It was driving. Everything was blocked off. He had zigzag because they had Gaffey. The whole flow in the town was like their major commando center that they used for like just controlling it. Because I guess that was centrally located. They had stuff off on Patton also on that side of town. So all over town, the whole segments were just blocked off.
Wow.
And there was also another big thing in town happened while I was gone. Some
you were with me.
Yeah. I was out on the out there, and there was this train tour came in down to Ports of Call.
With Ray Cargo,
Mumford and Family is some band called that. I don't know them. I think it's K Rock band. Edward and the Scissorhands or something like that. I don't know. But this train tour was going from town to town, and they had a pit stop in Pedro.
Wow.
And that whole giant parking lot there at Ports of Call, like where that Dead Children Festival was that time, Murdered Children's.
Second Man Place.
Yeah, that was in that same general zone, that whole big. So I heard that was a really big event that went off real smooth and cool. Nobody I know went because nobody knows those bands.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I guess the people that like those bands, people came from all over the place.
I played a gig in Salt Lake City. It was called The Complex. It had four different clubs in this one building. Had a rave thing. Had one for old punk people like me. One that had Sombrero, you know, the hat dance with the Norteño.
Wow.
They had the biggest crowd. And then they had a K-Rock room.
Oh.
You know, and
Club Complex.
I couldn't believe it. Like one-stop shopping.
Trippy new options.
But yeah, you're right. The vans came in. There was maybe Salt Lake's got two or three of these stations. They're all the same. They don't. Like, hey, wow. And all the bands are like, gong, 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 gong. And, yeah, it was a trip. But, well, probably young people want to hear all kinds of stuff. People their own age, maybe.
Yeah. I guess the Pedro people knew how to go about it. They got to watch and be there without tickets just because they, like, hung on Harbor Boulevard watching down, or Utro's was fenced off to be like a big beer garden right in the middle of the whole thing or something like that, so... Yeah, it sounded interesting, but I missed out.
Yeah, okay, but those were the two big things.
Yeah.
I K-Rock band came to town and Fed Raid. No kidding. That was it for 2 months. Pedro's good that way.
Doesn't change
a whole lot. I should get back to these songs. Okay. Starting off the second hour was... this record's from the middle of the 90s. It's called... the band's called Four. F-O-R-E.
It's like golfing.
Yeah. Or also, I think, the front of the boat.
Mm. Yeah, like right. Fore and aft.
Right. That was the name of the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the class I had with the lady who put together the Inquisitive Musician play I was in last night. LACMA. Inquisitive Musician. Oh, man, it was too much. I wish Raymond would have been there, but he's out traveling. Then we heard, the song's called Space Out. And then we heard, What Am I Supposed... Blank. Yeah. By Paul Morata. And then Black Boots by Jack Oblivion. He's a legend of Memphis. Garage scene from the 90s. The Captain. This cat named the Captain turned me on him. And then Shitty Ending by Withdrawal. But it's W-I-T-H-D-R-O-L. Withdrawal. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you start withdrawal after you get that going. Brother Matt, it's been 2 months since we had a spin cycle. Would you bring it forth?
Cool. You get funky little new Bootsy, I think, for starters.
In the beginning, there was total darkness. And out of this darkness, there came a word called Falk. From the high trinity of Falk, three undeniable geniuses, the Godfather himself, James Brown, the Falk master, George Clinton, and the Falk teacher, Bootsy Collins. Just that word, Falk, represented all that was funky and funked up in the world, so it was kept out of the mainstream of the so-called civilized or deodorized world. The one looked down upon us and saw Sir Nose devoid of funk and said, this is not good for humans to be funkless and separated from the one. You see, one is not a lonely number when it contains the essence of all that is. The one said, I will send the spirit of the buck gun down in the flesh of George Clinton to triumph over this faultless invader of organized chaos. Then with a blast from his buck gun, George reached out his hand and began to speak in an unknown, funked-up tongue. No one on earth understood this P-Funk language. No one except his personal funked-up disciples. And they were sent out all around the world for the funk.
Who, me? I'm your brother and funk man, Cornell West here, bringing you the good funkin' news.
May you live as long as you want, but never want as long as you live, baby.
While living in a world of freedom, because intelligence is so expensive.
Back up, you're going somewhere, cause folk can't ride your back unless it's been. Find a whole lot of things 10 times more startling, 10 times more surprising. All depends on where their head's at. Let's pretend that a flying saucer's coming down. Instead of checking it out or really seeing what it's about, they're going to try to shoot it down, first of all. In other words, an unknown thing. So this is very unknown to the people who surprise, isn't it? But they should try to get into it, see what it's really about.
That's why we forget about them, the ones that pave the way.
step.
We'll be right back. You shaking me? Not probable. Y'all get ridiculed for even trying to comment.
Stovetop this week. What was simmering it up?
Well, just the basic funk started. It's a little Fresh Bootsy. And then
it's out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, got a little jazz touch there with some salutes.
That's and, on his new thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, he could sure lay it
the
out.
The funk capital of the world.
Yeah, of course. Where else? But the big Bootsy man. Oh, the mat? You see?
Yeah.
Bootsy's going to be torn?
Yeah, yeah, I just saw that.
Wow.
So that's cool.
I want to catch that up.
Yeah. Get on the funk, Meister.
I remember he did a bass solo when he was over here at Torrance. And he made Michael Hampton hold his ears, put his fingers in his ears, and bitch. You and Raymond went.
That's the Bristol Farms. I think it's shut down now.
Is it?
All those gigs that happened in that joint.
That was called Plush Pony or some crap.
Yeah.
The Strand, I think, was
yeah.
played there. It was a Bristol Farm, like Holworth?
Yeah, something like that. Chic Market.
Nada?
No, it's not, I think. Across from Fat Burger.
You know what that is.
That's still there.
So, you've been taking classes.
Yep, I'm back in the school mode.
Yeah, what's the mode?
Some master's program. I feel like at work, I'm working harder and making less. I'm like a chunk of al pastor, just getting whittled away. Not complaining, it's all okay, but I just see the future whittling away with it. So I want to have another plan B.
Yeah, bravo.
Yeah, so that I'm already doing the job of administrator, you know, so with all the charter school and various reform bullshit going on, it's presenting new opportunities or new situations, so who knows what's going to unfold, but at least I'll have this in my pocket, ready to jump on something if it's cool.
What was your weather like here in Pedro when I was gone?
It's been kind of fluctuating. There were some days since I've been back that were really bitching. When I was gone, it wasn't that great. I heard kind of drizzly and gray. But then when I got back, there were a couple days like you could feel summer was happening. It was like near 80. And then it got foggy. So I walked to work the other day in a fog. By the time I got there, it was all soggy. But it's all good. It's warmer and it's coming around.
The tour for the U.S. and Canada was late spring.
Ah.
Yeah, some really bad weather, you know, the tornadoes and that. But there was snow on the side of the roads. Like we were talking Ann Arbor. It was, luckily for Canada, I had the sun out, but there was snow right there.
No crazy hailstorms?
No, lucked out. Some heavy-ass rains. Came over the Siskiyou and there was some hail coming. But made it over. But it was a late spring for a lot of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Northeast and the Midwest we were in. You know who was really good on the tour? For 10 gigs we were with Life.
How'd they like the South?
Yeah, that was from Texas to Georgia they did. Yeah, they were digging on it. They played their asses off. And gig goers really dug them.
I bet.
First time I was in New Orleans for 7-8 years since Katrina. Maybe 2004, 2003 was the last time. Man, it was great to play there again. We had a badass gig. It's a pad called the Shim Sham Club. It's called has another name now, One-Eyed Jacks. Like an old theater, a little theater.
Oh, bitching.
Yeah, it's bitching in the French Quarter.
Oh, cool.
Good gig. A lot of good gigs. The tour, I don't know, very happening. Something about maybe going out with an album, too. But to work the opera for people, too, is very interesting. People really didn't know what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate them for their open mind and open hearts, man. People were very righteous, played a lot of, and then also conk pads. Many great hosts for all over. A lot of good opening bands.
Bitching.
Yeah. Pretty near always local.
Turned on all kinds of cool music on the whole trip, huh?
It was a happening tour. I could feel it. It was, you know, 52 days with one day off. I could feel it a little bit. But I was the only cat of the whole crew that didn't get sick. Raul got sick, but not bad like Tom. And Miss P. Bob's son, he went in and out of sickness. He got the grippers. His hands got all hurt up. And it was kind of a struggle for him in a way, but I know he was glad he did it. Yeah, he's going to Tuesday come by Pedro before he gets on the train back to Placidas.
Oh, cool.
New Mexico.
So it must have been nice just to have somebody deal with that so you didn't have to concentrate on something else like normal.
Well, it was a lot more
relief.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Usually I'm just slinging shirts, but I brought music. Sold all the vinyls.
Bitchin'.
Sold all the shirts, all the... Yeah, pretty near everything we brought with us. Again, people being very kind. I wouldn't really give any spiels about it. Bob said to be over there, you know, at the table or something. It's mainly, well, when I left on the tour, the first thing I told myself, I'm going to get my guys back safe. Number two, I'm going to work this piece the best we can for all the gig goers who work all week and come to, you know, witness whatever. And then after that, everything falls in line. You know, those are the two main things.
Mm.
Get my guys back safe. And do the peace for the people the best we can. Everything else, you know, of course you want to hold your health, and I did. I didn't do any cigarettes the whole time. Yeah. Only drank at the cog pads. Cog before almost every gig. One gig I did in Portland. I got there and waited for Richard Meltzer to show and spent the whole afternoon and nighttime with him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was really bitching. That was a great thing for me to be able to do. Be with Richard in his adopted Portland town.
Cool.
And just rapping, you know, a lot about... We heard the Spielgusher once a day. A couple days we didn't hear it because the drives were too short. But there's an album coming out in September with where he gave me 48 spoken words. In fact, there's 14 instrumentals and 3 spiels only, so there's 65 altogether. And he's coming up with titles with all this. But this album's called Spielgusher. It's got Mr. Shimmy and Ms. Yuko. Myself, we did a bunch of music for these spoken words he gave me. 10 of them, in fact, were going to be used with the Minuteman. Yeah, so... 25 years later, there's by day, and it really tripped him out when I gave it to him, and he heard it with the music. He said, "Yeah, it kind of made it friendly, more friendly." That's what his wife said too. And, we almost had it memorized. We had pounded it into our brain so much. That goes for Raul and Tom. Very, very interesting project. Bob Zahn says he's going to write me an essay on it. That was actually the idea of doing it every day, but then just got into it. It was a great way to start the driving off. Some Richard and Roland in the Cotto line.
Cool.
Cotto line held up very, very strong.
Gosh, it
was incredible. Yeah. I did the regular 3,000-mile oilers, maintenances. She was... Well, the 350s are over designed. I never went to the floor with the pedal, that big 6.8 liter V10 Triton. And then the brakes, you know, huge oversized discs, all four. And, 92,000 miles. So I haven't had to do brakes.
Nice.
The Michelin tires. I just held together. That's stuff you don't... You're talking about not worrying about stuff. That's what you don't want to worry about. Mm. The boat is going to get waylaid, you know? It's the center of the touring universe, so... Very blessed in the boat.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a good thing. Really was. And my health, you know, I would feel weak at points, but to not get sick, you know, like, I could see them guys going through the hell with the hacks and then us.
Yeah, that's why when you were getting ready to take off, last show before you took off, I didn't want
to
be...
That's why you didn't want to affect me so much, brother, man. I did have to do some lodges a little bit of cough, but, because that was a tough thing to do spiel that many days in a row.
Yeah.
But then it turns into a syrup. Too much cough drops. Yeah, I have to hack up these big ones. But it worked out. I felt very lucky. The gig goers, the boat, my men, Miss Pete, everybody was aiding and abetting towards the tour.
You remember that dude, Ted Hawkins?
Ted Hawkins.
He used to call him the King of the Beach. He used to sit on a milk crate out in Venice like 8-10 hours a day.
Wow.
Singing like
I don't know Venice.
Sam Cooke
so
well. Or he used to have him on the blues shift a lot. He ended up making a few albums.
Oh, good singer, man.
Yeah, he had a voice, but he'd be on the beach all day long singing the weekend. His voice would be shot all week. And he'd come to the show on Wednesday, because Wednesday wasn't healed up yet. For the blue shift was Wednesday nights. And he would sing all Friday and all Saturday and Sunday down at the beach all day long. And his voice was like shot. So since the show was Wednesday, it wasn't back yet. He'd come up with a whole bag of lemons, like he robbed somebody's tree. You know, and just be, yeah, borrowed, procreated, procured. whatever. And you just suck down lemons. You just the whole show in between songs.
Appropriated.
Oh, yeah, appropriate. Yeah.
You'd be sucking down them lemons.
Yeah, a whole sack, man. Just like, and then just cut through all the shit so you could sing the next song. It was amazing, the whole process.
King Ted?
Ted Hawkins.
Okay. I'll wait for you in the second hour, brother Matt. We're going to bring on the fucking mighty conclusion. Jack's latest
Jack's coming trip. Back to wrap it up.
So everybody hold tight. It's May 8, 2011. Walk Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour 3. May 8, 2011. It's the third hour of the Walk from Pedro Show. And it's time now for the thrilling conclusion. Part 8 of 8. Jack Flanders.
Jack!
And Steam Dreamers of Inverness.
Jack, Mojo, and Claudine are at the western tip of the floating island. Above them, the great zeppelin that has been moored to one of the abandoned buildings is now covered with vines. The captain and his crew have been waging a losing battle. The vines have covered the hull. The zeppelin is being dragged down into the jungle below. Jack and Mojo have found a power station that appears to sustain the city. Mojo has been trying to shut down the system at least long enough to free the zeppelin.
Hey, you found Claudine.
Mojo, what are you doing?
I'm trying to destroy the island.
Why? What's going on?
Oh, man. That zeppelin is covered with vines. They're pulling it down into the jungle.
What can we do?
This power station feeds those vines, but I can't shut it down. So the captain has ordered me to destroy it.
You will destroy us too.
I'm in a bit of a quandary about that.
Wait a minute. Claudine, you knew there was a drainage system that fed the jungle. How did you know that?
I just knew.
Or was it Colette who knew?
Did you know this?
Of course I knew.
Jack, you are right. She knew.
Ask her if she understands how this system works.
Colette?
I hear him quite clearly.
She can hear you, Jack.
Oh, that ought to speed things up, then.
I have been inside. It's a beautiful design.
She has been inside it. She may understand how it works.
Can she shut it down?
You will destroy everything.
But just temporarily. Just so we can get free of this island.
Oh, man. Speaking of down, I can see those vines are pulling down the Zeppelin.
Colette, can you shut it down?
But everything will die.
But I will die, too.
Oh, what should I do?
If you can shut it down when we are gone, then you turn it back on. Feed the jungle again.
But I will have to stay.
Please, do it for me.
Herr Mojo, Herr Flanders, Herr anyone.
Captain, it's Jack. How are you holding up?
We are not. We are being pulled into that infernal jungle.
Can you hold on just a little longer?
No. We are all doomed.
What should I tell the captain?
Give it to me. Captain Von Bon Bon.
Claudine, they have found you? Oh, good, good.
We are trying to shut down the system. All is not lost. Not yet.
Every vine we chop, two more grow. A chop, a chop, a chop, a babat. To grow more vines.
Tell them to rest. If they do nothing, that may slow things down.
Captain, take a rest. We're trying to help. Right now, it's best if you do nothing.
Yeah. The vines, they are like the tails of Satan. They reach, they grasp, they cling, they squeeze.
Captain, do nothing. We'll get back to you.
Well, that sounds serious. Is Colette still here?
No, she's gone.
Will she help?
I think she'll try.
Can an imaginary friend affect things that are physical?
I don't know. But Jack, are you forgetting how much of this is really physical?
Hey, have you noticed? Those lights on the wall, they quit flashing. And those dials settled back. I think Colette is closing things down.
Jack? Did you have an imaginary friend when you were a child?
No. I just daydreamed a lot. So, what do we do now? Just sit tight and see what happens?
That's all we can do.
And so time passes. Every now and then, Mojo looks out a window to report that the Zeppelin hasn't been drawn further down into the jungle.
You know, these vines aren't evil. I mean, if you stand still long enough, they'll wrap around you. Because that's what vines do. And when they discovered those Zeppelin cables attached to the building where they were clinging already, well, it was like, hey, I think I'll just wind around this and see where it takes me. And then, when they discovered those cables were attached to an airship, it was like, hey, Brother Vine, look what I just found to wrap around. Something big, fat, and round. My, I can creep, crawl, and cling all over this thing.
Jack, Mojo, Claudine.
Contessa, how's things up there?
The jungle is receding. How are you?
Oh, we're fine. We're about to start making our way back across the city.
Oh, that may not be possible.
Uh-oh. What's wrong now?
The jungle is dying.
It seems okay from what I can see.
It began on the opposite end of the island.
Man, I was afraid that might happen.
Don't worry, you just stay where you are and we will pick you up.
You're bringing Mississippi here?
Yes. They've released the mooring lines and we are now rising above the city.
Oh, man. I'll get Jack and Claudine. We'll be standing outside. You just send down that basket.
Oh, it's amazing that everything has wilted so quickly.
Once we are free of the island, the machines will begin again.
You know, I've grown rather fond of this jungle.
No. Really?
Actually, I have.
The airship is directly above us. And here comes our ride.
Our wicker elevator.
The basket descends down alongside the building. The three adventurers climb aboard. They bid a fond farewell, but as they begin to rise up into the air...
Ouch! What happened?
Why did we stop?
Captain? Hello?
Herr Flanders?
Why have we stopped?
I don't know.
Mojo, are we caught on something?
I'll take a look. One of those tides have grabbed us.
I thought they were all dying.
Try telling that to this one. It don't want to let go.
Has the devil Weins returned?
Look, the jungle is becoming alive again.
Mojo, here, take the machete. Now cut the vine.
Hurry, more vines are coming.
Sorry, Snake, it was time for a pruning.
I didn't think you'd like that.
Captain, pull us up now.
Watch out, there's more.
Oh, they're creeping out from everywhere.
We're free.
Watch it. No, they're reaching out of the trees.
This jungle never rests.
I think Colette has turned everything back on.
Oh, I thought she was going to wait until we were on our way.
We were on our way.
Yeah. Isn't this cutting it a little close?
I think we ought to leave a warning sign somewhere.
You mean in case another Zeppelin should come floating by someday?
What kind of sign, Mojo?
Oh, something like, watch out below, mad jungle.
Maybe just a skull with vines wrapped around it.
Or maybe it should simply say, do not disturb.
Fair enough.
Sounds good to me.
And so they climb aboard the Great Zeppelin. The captain has recorded the location of the floating island. He has named it Devil's Island. Our three adventurers protested, saying that was misleading. But the captain was clearing vines still clinging to the catwalks. Captain von Baumbaum was in no mood to listen.
Natur. Natur. Der Natur kann man niemals vertrauen. Niemals.
What do you say?
Nature can never be trusted.
Mojo, you ought to tell the captain your vine theory. You know that vines aren't evil. They're just doing what vines love to do.
I think I'll save that for another day.
And now let's return to that mansion at Inverness. Old Art has been tending the furnace that has been providing the steam for these strange dreams that Jack, Mojo, and Claudine have been experiencing together.
They've been up in that room for 2 days. They ain't come down yet.
Old Art trudges up the steps inside the tower. He squeezes through the narrow walls. He stops before the door now marked, Steam Dreamers Welcome. He knocks.
Y'all in there? What if I open the door and there's no one? What if that steamoscope or whatever Jack calls that thing just sucked their living souls right out of their bodies and left dry us just sitting there? Hello? I don't trust no steam dream machine. Well, I guess it's time I take a peek. Sure is dark in here. And hot and humid. Feels like a jungle. Ooh. But ain't no one moving. Jack? You still breathing? Claudine? She's sleeping like a little girl. Mojo? You do, man. They're all gone off somewhere. I think I'd better shut things down. I think it's time for you all to come on home.
And so old Art closes the valves on the steam projector. The great machine gives a final hiss and falls silent. Old Art sits down and waits. Time passes. The room cools. And finally, they awaken.
Oh.
Have a nice nap?
Art?
Oh, man.
Y'all have a good time?
We had an excellent adventure.
Mm-hmm. Claudine. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to open your eyes.
Why?
We've run out of steam. Come on. Upsy-daisy.
Oh, do I have to?
Come on. Rise and shine.
Oh. Hello, Art.
Ma'am?
Oh, I must look awful.
No, ma'am. You look refreshed.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You look reborn.
Really?
Like a little girl.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so our adventurers tidy up, eat hearty, and meet out on the patio to watch the sun setting over the rolling hills of Inverness.
You know, Leo Tolstoy once wrote a little story about prayer.
Were we talking about prayer?
Well, I was sure thinking about it when we were on that island.
Huh.
I want to hear the story.
There was a lake with an island, and it became famous because of three saints. And, you know, the high priest, he had never heard of these saints because the church had never certified them. But miracles were happening and people were going there by the thousands.
Oh, this was in Russia, right?
That's right. So he went out on a boat to the island where these three guys lived. And he could see there were poor, simple folks. They had nothing. They were sitting under a tree laughing, having a good time. But when they saw this distinguished-looking priest in his shiny, expensive robes, they got up and bowed down. The priest said, "There are rumors. You are great saints. Tell me, how do you pray?" And they said, "Well, we never knew the right way to pray, so we invented our own prayer." And the priest said, "Tell it to me." They said, "God is thought of as a Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we are also three. So we decided on, you are three, we are three. Have mercy on us."
That was their prayer?
That was it.
So what did the priest think of that?
Oh, man, he was pissed. I mean, really offended. He said, "I never heard of a prayer like that. That's nonsense. You aren't saints. You're simply stupid."
That wasn't very nice.
Well, he was an important man. For him, religion was serious business.
So what did the saints do?
They fell at his feet and they said, "Teach us the authentic prayer." So the priest told them the prayer of the Russian Orthodox Church. It was long, complicated, lots of big words. Man, it just went on and on. When he finished, the three guys looked at each other like they'd never remember all those words. So they asked him to repeat it again, and he did. And then they said, "Please, repeat it once more." And he did. And then they thanked him, and the priest felt good because he had done a good deed. He had brought these three foolish men back to the church.
And that's the story?
No, wait for the punchline.
So the priest went sailing off on his boat. But when he was in the middle of the lake, he heard voices calling. And he turned around, and there's these three saints running on the water, calling, "Wait, tell us your prayer again. We forgot."
Running across the water?
Oh, yeah.
And what did the priest do?
Well, he fell at their feet, and he said, "Forget it. Just continue your prayer."
That's a nice story, Mojo.
You can thank Leo.
Well, here's to simple saints.
And to simple prayer.
Oh, man. I'm going to miss that zeppelin.
Are you going somewhere?
I thought I'd leave you two alone and head on back home.
Mojo, no, don't leave.
The more time I spend up in that room, the more real it feels. And one day, I just may not want to come back down.
Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing.
Oh, but it is just a dream.
I know that now. But when I'm in it, man, I don't know the difference.
Do you, Claudine?
Of course I do.
Are you certain about that?
I am. And I will look after both of you.
And what about your imaginary friend?
Colette? She will help me.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Don't make fun. Did she not help us to escape from that crazy jungle?
You know, you're right. She did.
Yeah, but just barely. Man, those vines were going after us with a vengeance.
She's still like a child, though, isn't she?
Colette is grown up. But yes, she is very childlike.
Sometimes it's nice to have a little innocence hanging around. Sometimes they see things we can't.
Because we're jaded, huh?
No, because you're bullheaded.
You know, I recall Captain Baumbaum saying there were more islands out there somewhere.
Well, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind seeing maybe another one or two. How about you?
You like being on that Zeppelin, don't you?
Oh, man, I love it. I want to learn how to fly that thing.
Jack, let's go back, all right?
More islands in the sky.
Just floating out there somewhere.
Tempting, isn't it?
Maybe. Just a little.
Come here. Thank you.
For what?
For dreaming with me.
Really? Well, you know what they say.
No, what?
What we see and what we seem are but a dream within a dream.
Excellent example of branding our brain was the Black Hole of Calcutta. The British East India Company had become a little pushy, and the Nawab of Calcutta, whose territory they were infringing upon, decided to push back by stuffing a bunch of Englishmen into a small room on a hot Bengal night. A number of them died. No one knows how many. The numbers were inflated to make it appear even worse than it was. The British East India Company knew how to spin the English press by calling the Indians barbaric and demanding retribution. They could justify their invading and conquering the entire subcontinent. And to this day, the Black Hole of Calcutta is branded into our brains.
Clarify this for me, Footsfoots. You said Lady Windermere and the Tsarina were good friends, but when it was revealed that the Russians were plotting with the Huns to divide up the world, didn't this make the Tsar's empire appear slightly evil?
No, of course not, Calcutta. You know that history is always edited. So with a little snip-snip, the Ruskies appeared as though they rejected the offer. And von Snipe was branded as the man.
Who will stop at nothing?
Exactly.
Sir Basil Hound of Scotland Yard, do come in.
Thank you, Lady Chatterley.
Tea, Basil?
Yes, please. I've come on a rather delicate matter. Your superior, Lord Wellington, has been cavorting with a woman by the name of Marlena Blitzkrieger.
The German spy, I know.
Oh, you know.
One lump or two, doesn't everyone?
Two.
I assume Lord Wellington has told you that he's merely stroking her for all the information he can squeeze from her.
Ah, yes. It could be put that way.
And you feel that Blitzkrieger, who I understand is one hot crowd, is pumping Sir Boots for all he's worth.
Boots assures me that he's been feeding her misinformation.
And she is doing the same for him. Is there a problem?
He believes everything that she's told him. In fact, we've acted upon it.
You mean that hideous, though I must say humorous, monumental painting of Queen Victoria with moustache and Van Dyke on the white cliffs of Dover?
Blitzkrieger told Lord Wellington it was King Ferdinand of Spain who commissioned the painting.
I know.
Lady Chatterley, You and your Pinkerton pranksters doctored photos of the King of Spain prancing nude with the Vienna Boys' Choir.
It was convincing, wasn't it?
It was slanderous.
But Basil, that's what we do.
Did you ever consider the repercussions? This could mean war.
We're not going to war with Spain. I mean, not again, or certainly not at this moment. In fact, it was the Belgians who got blamed.
Spain has demanded an apology. If they don't receive it, they may attack Belgium.
Well, Belgium is certainly not going to apologize for something that we did.
But
calm down, Basil.
Don't you see this is the work of Professor von Snipe?
The man who will stop at nothing.
Blitzkrieger is von Snipe's protege. She is a key component in von Snipe's nefarious department of doom and gloom.
Basil, what do you want me to do?
Talk to Lord Wellington.
Oh, it's hopeless. Marlene Blitzkrieger is holding his nuts.
So Sir Boots is lost? He's finished?
I can recommend a nice sanitarium.
Ah, so that was when Sir Boots was put away.
No, not yet. It was at this point that the Contessa Rosalina Catalina Chianti arrived in Paris on the midnight zeppelin from Milan.
The Contessa? The infamous Italian femme fatale?
Also known as Deglo Red.
No! Surely that cannot be Futz.
We weren't aware of that at the time.
Contessa Rosalina Catalina Chianti's Deglo Red?
The Contessa was a spy for the Vatican.
Cowpotter,
the fall of Rome was a myth. Rome never fell, it was simply taken over by the church. Now, also arriving in Paris on that midnight zeppelin was the Blackamoor.
Do you mean Sultan Abdullah Akman Orban Man?
The same Sultan who the Coochie Man had impersonated back in London.
The Coochie Man and his great white robot were still in Paris?
Oh, yes, and also in Paris were Lady Windermere, the Tsarina of Russia, Professor Ludwig von Snipe, Marlena Blitzkrieger, Sir Boots Wellington, Sir Basil Hound, and of course the Sultan and the Contessa Rosalini Cantalina Chiantes, who, as we now know, is they glow red.
This is beginning to sound like a French farce.
It was farcical, except when the final curtain came down, we found ourselves at war.
But wasn't the war quite lucrative for you, Futz? I mean, with those strange steam-powered weapons of destruction that you'd invented.
Creating contraptions to send thousands of souls off to purgatory was not something I particularly enjoyed, Cowpotter. But back to our story. The one key player not in Paris at that time was Lady Chatterley of the Pinkerton Pranksters.
But you said she was responsible for launching the war.
She did not have to be in Paris to make her presence felt.
Do you have footage of the Paris fiasco? Was it documented by Lady Windermere's recording cylinder that you'd installed in her brass bustle?
It was, but also at that time I, too, was in Paris.
There were a number of devices of destruction invented for the not-so-great war, but wasn't one of the more positive inventions the computer?
Our early computers were monsters. They were the size of steam calliopes. In fact, for our early prototypes, we used steam calliopes. Our very first prototype was called the Hooter. It was hardly more than an adding machine that let out a burst of steam and howl every time you press the key.
The early steam-driven mainframes were monstrous, but weren't you also credited with the invention of the first portable prototype?
I was. We developed a portable personal computer by adding wagon wheels beneath the calliope, and over time we were able to mute the howling. And that, in fact, radically changed our style of writing.
In what way?
The words we chose were less shrill, less discordant.
Cacophonous?
Yes. There were many things invented for the not-so-great war. Many we are still living with today. And some, I'm sad to say, will never go away.
So, Lady Windy, you got your snapshots of von Snipe's map?
I did. In fact, it was in the papers this morning. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. When I was sitting in a cafe cruncher on a croissant, everyone was talking about it.
And what was their reaction?
People had the feeling there's going to be a war.
Oh, I'm afraid I may have aggravated things, Coochie.
Well, you never know how things are going to go.
How long will you be in Paris?
Maybe another day.
Do you know who arrived last night on the midnight zeppelin? The Sultan.
You mean Abdullah Akman Arubanman? The real Blackamoor?
The same.
What's he doing in Paris?
We believe he's meeting with Professor von Snipe.
Oh, man.
Them two knows I impersonate the Sultan. When Snipey tells him I'm in town,
That sultan is going to come looking for the coochie man. I think it's time I go back on down to Dixie.
Coochie, I need just one little favor.
No, no, no. It's time I shuffle on off to Sweet Home, Louisiana.
Hear me out, Coochie, please.
Lady Wendy, I know you want to send us go with that blackamoor, but that sultan travels with an entourage, and I know some of those servants are assassins.
But Coochie...
When they eat that hashish, they are fearless. I think it's time for me and Mr. Cracker to put on our pants and just tiptoe on out of here.
Nothing will happen to you, Coochie.
I love Paris.
But I got a franchise of juke joints down south. It's time I stoke up the great white robot and we steam on out of here.
All I'm asking...
Plus, there's going to be a war. Man, I can smell it. Smells musky. It's like fear and intercourse. I don't know why they go together, but it's too crazy for Coochie.
All right. I appreciate all you've done. Goodbye, Coochie man.
So long, my Lady Wendy. You be good now.
That was rather touching.
Yes, it was. But things didn't work out as planned for the Coochie Man.
Water from Pedro. And there it was.
Good old Jack.
The thrilling conclusion. Jack Flanders, steam dreamers of Inverness. Brother Matt, thinking of some steamers.
Yeah, a pot of steamers would be pretty good right now on a little Sunday afternoon.
You said you had some when?
Last week over 22nd Street.
Yeah. There's plans for Pedro. They opened a big 7-Eleven. The first time I saw a two-story 7-Eleven.
Yeah, trippy.
I guess Brother Matt says there's offices or something, but they brought Laker Girls.
Laker Girls were there.
Because, there's nowhere to spend money except early Saturday morning. I go to fish with the Asian people and the Latin people.
But they want
Kim's taking me there.
That's a cool
spot.
Sometimes
some dudes are bringing the same old fish back. Kim's like, punk, Mr. Mike. Anyway, Brother Matt's saying there's nowhere to spend money, so they had to, like, fortify the place with some cuisine and bring in a crap Donald's.
Mickey D's.
I heard they're also going to extend out the red car.
Yeah, it should.
It's going to go all the way to Cabrillo Beach.
It's cool. It's a train to nowhere right now.
Yeah, right.
It
goes to 22nd.
It should really hook it up, cruise through Wilmington along the backwaters of the harbor, and hook up to the Blue Line.
Yeah.
So it's really serving a purpose.
Yeah. Sniff some tourista thing.
Yeah.
But to, I guess from the cruise ships to the marina.
Yeah, they got their whole plan, the whole Marina del Pedro trip.
Well, the cruise ships, they want to put them down there.
Yeah, they're working on it already. They got all the new palm trees lined up all the way down.
These boats can't get down the channels.
And then they got the giant ship in a bottle down there. It's a cargo ship in a bottle. It's like a 5-foot cargo ship in the bottle.
Like
a
gambo?
Yeah, big old container ship. Yeah, full of cans, and it's not like a little wine bottle type thing. It's like about maybe 5-7 foot big old bottle.
Oh, the way I like drinking bourbon.
So it's like life size.
Big pour,
yeah.
The big pours.
Yeah,
the big.
So yeah, it's down in the new Marina del Pedro part. If you cruise down 22nd to Minor, where they put in all the new stuff.
There's a new, they extended out the marina.
Yeah.
Right.
Pile driver's been busy.
Well, they're driving it. Anyway, back to Jack Flanders at CBS Media. Mr. Meatball Fulton, thank you for your creation. We didn't mean to get sidetracked on a Pedro steam. It was the steamers.
The steamers threw us off.
Brother Meatball Fulton.
You're going to go get some.
CBS Media, incredible, little steam pot itself, little...
Zero bullshit.
Yeah, zero bullshit media, CBS. It's a little pressure cooker, a little steam dreams. He's been doing these things, these mind movies, for 40 years now.
Yeah, cheers.
Go on over to ZBS.org. That's Z as in zebra, B as in...
Bullshit.
Bullshit. And, S is in the shipyard. .org. Go there, man, and check out some of their mind movies and their trips, and let Jack take you on some
sit in his chair
yourself things. Yeah, put you in the old chair. chair that don't let go until you get burned really hard. Throw you in front of the thing. Yeah, so that's some stuff going on in Pedro. That's kind of weird. A little side mission.
Yeah, they got that whole new place down there, but there's nothing to do but park. It's like they left some little plots for some kind of plan.
They left some warehouses, too.
Yeah, they left the cool old warehouse one, at least, and the old cool ones.
At least the one, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one on the other side where Crescent is, they should have tore them down.
Yeah.
And enlarged that park. I remember Skipper Jeff saying, no one's going to use that park. Every time I pedal, I see dudes down there using that park.
Mm-hmm.
It's very happening.
Yeah, people need parks.
You need it. You need it. And his idea was if you have a park, it's going to be a magnet for some, like, trouble. And
yeah.
Sometimes that happens, but I think it's worth
the
risk.
That's a different park.
Than more puck and,
yeah,
you know, dunk bag dispensers like the 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it can come through with a roll of toilet paper stuff. How many of these you need?
Mm-hmm.
And also, the little guys involved, they've already been around.
Mm-hmm.
Right there on Pacific and, what is it, 19th?
Mm-hmm.
Where they put it?
Yeah.
There's pads already there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other park on the other side of town, they turned to a Target.
Target.
So they need a park.
That used to be the bakery and the drive-in.
Yeah.
Part of the drive-ins, I guess.
Industrial mini mall.
Yeah, it was supposed to be some kind of an entrepreneur zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's some funny things in our town. Maybe you can share them with everybody else's town. Yeah. There's probably parallel universes with these kind of hustles and stuff. But we don't want to get anybody down. We're going to play some more music then.
Yeah, everybody's going through their own shit.
Thank you. blood red roses. In a silent night, with a pocket full of wonders, into the sparkling light.
Music there. We started off with Arikimono by Wag Platy. Great name. Great name. You know, Wag Platy. W-A-G-P-L-A-T-Y. Why not, you know? Then we heard Problems by the Space Pony. Space Pony. Not just a Space Pony, but the Space Pony.
Yeah, Space Pony with Problems.
Italy, Ravenna, where they got Dante buried. You know, they had to, like, hide his bones and shit. People tried to steal his shit. The people from Florence, you know, who booted him out. Why didn't
he? Well, I'm back.
Yeah, well, now that you're gone, come on. Then we heard Shipwreck by Sassafras. Sassafras is a new band by Sailor Alexander, who used to play with Stab City. And, got to play with him right before the tour, in fact. God, we got to do some more gigs there. I got to bring the third opera to Redwood Bar and Grill.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
By the way, people, next time I do is going to be Wednesday. What is Wednesday?
K-Town. Wednesday is going to be...
11th? It's 11th of May at K-Town Bootleg Theater over on Beverly. Go to the Hoot page, MikeWatt.com. You can get a list of that. The next day we're up in Sacramento. I know we were just there 2 weeks ago, but we were invited for a festival called Let It Flow Sacramento Festival. The press club there. And then Saturday, me and Kay, we did dose practice this morning.
Oh, cool.
First week of July, new dose album, fourth dose album. And we're playing next Saturday. We're playing a benefit. Some guys fighting.
The Clint Wrench business pretty busy. Well, the Clint Wrench action. Clint Wrench,
yeah. Every 3 months, new dealio, huh?
That's cool.
Next dose, and after that is the Spielgusher, then Sonia de Manaio, the Italian record, and then three albums with Nels Klein. Not all at once, but staggered up.
Awesome.
First one, Black Gang. About autumn, actually coming out in the autumn, 3 years later. Yeah. Trip. Back to the list of music we just heard. Heavy Dragon by Trogons. And Sunday Morning by Fluke. Yeah, it didn't sound too much like Sunday morning. In fact, here it's Sunday afternoon. It's coming on 4:30.
Yeah.
We didn't say so before, Happy Mother's Day. Every one of
us indeed.
Share the mother experience
in
some way or another. So, whenever you got ideas about ladies or whatever, always remember there's mother involved. Same with dudes. If there's something happening with dudes, there was a mother involved there.
Yep.
Haven't solved that.
Yeah, everybody got one.
Yeah, that's right. So, big respect to the Ma's. And, we were doing dose prac, and my Ma came over.
Oh, yeah?
And she goes, Michael Watt, I got a song on the CD. I can't remember who it was, but I think this should be a dose should cover this song. He looks over at me like,
got a special request.
Yeah, okay, sure. Pile it on.
I just scored
Kay's
my stooge.
Kay's been doing so much work, she says it's been hard for her. You know, she's got another bass now.
Oh.
She had that cat, Mark Garza, make a bass for her when the other one was stolen, but it came back. It's a little bit different. Kind of the same style-y and stuff, but because of different woods and different made and everything, it's a little different. It's neat. They're both bitching basses. Mark Garza did a great job.
Very
Garz
cool.
Guitars. .com, GARZUITARS. .com. Speaking of a sound of basses, you know, James Williamson came to my gig in San Francisco.
Yes, he said that's cool.
And he wrote me a couple days later. He really liked the opera. He said Tom and Raoul was playing tag with me and shit. But he's like, wow, this bass sound, man, what's this about? I go, well, James, that's how I do it. You know, I've been using the same amplifier for 15 years, beating stuff. We got to bring that for some Stooges gigs. I said, okay. You know, because I just use whatever they ramp me in. But he was really tripping on the sound.
Wow, bitch.
I don't know, it might have been something about the room. And then Bomb of the Hill, which was the venue in San Francisco, it was a good pad.
Richard fucking Bonney's hang.
He was there.
Right on.
Load the equipment. Kenny Briggs went too. At least we saw her when we caught her in the cabbage. Her back was hurting. She didn't get it. But Richard fucking Bonney was there.
Right on.
Yeah, big respect. Then KXLU on the 19th.
Cool.
KXLU.com. Because you don't have to live in SoCal to listen to them.
Get that stream now.
It's
going to
be a broadcast of the third opera.
Yeah.
I like playing my stuff.
One of the coolest stations in the whole country.
Yeah. It's a big tradition with me, too, of going back, way back. In fact, the KCRW wanted me to do it. I said, you wait till June.
Backseat.
And then they said something to me about 35 minutes. I said, the opera's 43 minutes long. And we're not getting any slack from
I'm quick you on the pier in the summer in the Santa Monica. That's a cool deal KCRW does.
Yeah?
Yes. Santa Monica Pier, Thursday nights in the summer, free concerts. All summer long. It's beautiful.
This
it's been going
the
20 years.
Show they got. But this will be 10 p.m. Cali time, May 19th, playing over the air, third opera. So guys didn't get to see it or we didn't hit your town. There was a lot of towns we missed. You know, even with all that many gigs.
Yeah, 52,
no
can't hit them all.
Memphis, no Nashville, no Tennessee, period. No Alabama, no Birmingham, no Mobile. None of the Dakotas, no Cleveland, no Cincinnati.
Mm.
Sorry, but you can hear it there. And then end of May, Charlie Plymouth's coming to town, so I'm going to give him a tour of Pedro.
Cool.
And the next day I go do start the summer gigs with the Stooges overseas.
Oh, very cool. I just got my Stooges tickets right now online while we're talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. September 7th, they're going to play Palladium up in Hollywood. That's happened. Some California Stooges.
Mm.
September. Speaking of Charlie Plymouth, buddy, his Amanda Schroeder ended our chunk of music there with Blackbird from Germany there. Charlie, he's heard so much about Peter and I want to see.
Bitchin'.
He's going to give a reading up in San Francisco with his buddy Roxy Powell. Mm. Both Kansas cats. You know, I got to hang up. The guy who picked me up in Kansas City, Missouri to take rejoin me with the Missing Moon, Tom Rowell, was George, who's wasn't from those days, but he's been doing a lot of preservation and archiving of that stuff. And he was telling me, you know, the Kansas connection was pretty intense with the Beats. Of course, Uncle Bill.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course. Bill.
And then Cassidy wasn't too far. What Neil Cassidy was from Denver.
Yeah, Colorado guy, yeah.
But very interesting, very big honor for me. I wish the tree was still there at Peck Park that I could show where D. Boone jumped out on me, but it got pulled up. But there's a dent in the ground still, so I could show him that. And that's very happening. Very much my honor to get to do that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, Brother Matt, can you think of anything else? Comeback show. My brain is still like...
Well, this has been like...
I'm laying on the deck and it feels like I'm still moving.
This has been like kind of an anniversary of sorts. 10 years of action since we've been doing some...
10 years of the Walk for Pedro show. Brother Matt has been helping me do this since May of 2001.
Yeah.
Wow. Long Sorry for the two-month gap, too. But I had to be torn. I wanted to do one in the tour. But just... I already told you the priority list.
Yeah, see, now diarying takes some time.
Yeah, and I did that every day. Mm. It helped me. Helped me give me focus. I'm glad I did that. But I'm glad, too, to be here to do shows with you.
Welcome back.
Okay. That's been the May 8th, 2011 Watt for Pedro show. 10 years now we've been doing these. They're all archived at twfps.com. Thank you, good people at Siteworks. Got to conk it, Brother Eric.
Oh, right on.
Pat in Portland. And they helped bring the show to you.
Siteworks.
And we'll be back next week. And I'll be playing a lot of the music that I got from the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody, keep your powder dry.